Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
There's this girl. Her name is Lonnie. And she gave me this tape and said, "You have got to listen to this."
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a very special Gone Home spoiler cast.
Spoiler cast
of GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. I'm joined by Greg Miller, Marty Sliva.
Hey guys.
And we're very lucky to have the writer and designer of Gone Home here, Steve Gaynor, joining us today.
Hey.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it.
We love the game, obviously.
I also appreciate that. Thanks for playing it.
I hope it goes without saying, we're going to be talking about spoilers.
We're spoiling the game.
Yeah.
Wait a second, is that why you call it that?
So hopefully you've played through it, yet.
And if you haven't, stop the video and go play it. Get it off Steam right now.
It'll only take you a couple hours. You'll be glad you did. Then come back and join us.
Greg will probably gift it to you if you bother him on Twitter.
I saw you doing that, we've all played the game.
Yeah.
So we all agree.
So we can finally talk about it openly and freely.
Yeah. So a question you posed before we started
My burning question
is...
Sam. Lonnie.
This is a big one to start out
with. I know. Well, I don't care.
You better have played the game. You have no idea what the hell Greg is about to ask.
Fuck you if you didn't yet. That's not my problem anymore. I finally get to talk to you. I've been dancing around it all afternoon on these different questions.
All right, let's make it happen.
Sam and Lonnie, are they still together in your head? You wrote this story. It's about, you know, this coming of age romance, discovering your sexuality, falling in love, all these different things.
In 95, right?
Yeah.
All the stuff that the video game is normally about.
Yeah. That old chestnut.
Yeah. So almost 20 years later.
They're 37.
Well, what do you think?
No.
I don't want to start this.
I think no way in hell. Like, no way in hell. That I think they had a really nice, passionate, brief fling.
Yeah.
And then grew up a little bit and realized that the person you like in high school is probably just an awful human being.
Which one of them is awful?
I really hope you, like, didn't meet your wife in high school or something.
I actually did. I've been with my wife since I was 17 years old. What's up now?
Oh,
actually true.
So then they're totally together.
Let's assume. No, I don't know. I mean... They're very, you know, they're very different people than, like, myself, right? Like, and it was a different, I mean, it wasn't that different at the time. I was 17 and 99, I guess. But I don't know. I mean, the thing is, from my point of view, I don't really know what happens after the credits roll, right? Mm-hmm. Like, everything that's in the game, it's like, I can say, yes, this did or didn't or whatever. But, like, I don't know. The thing that's interesting is they are in a really... tough position, right? Because in the story, Lonnie has an enlistment date. She's going to basic training, and then she just bails. Mm-hmm. So that means that you're AWOL from the U.S. military. Yeah. Like, military police are actually going to be looking for you, and you can do time for that shit, right? Yeah. So, like, they
They're
would either...
in Canada.
They, yeah, exactly.
Administration. Everything goes.
they would either have to go to Canada or Mexico, which, you know, Lonnie's family's from Mexico, so maybe they do that. Or just try to hide out somewhere. But it's like, it's not going to be... easy for them.
They're two dumb kids. All they know how to do is make zines.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's like if you had to go like make a life for yourself when you're 17 fucking years old, like that wouldn't be easy, right?
No,
so I think there would definitely be a ton of challenges in front of them. But I don't have the timeline in my head where I'm like, definitely this is what 2013
like
looks like for them. Yeah, exactly. But
Sam and Lonnie's kid comes home and no one's home.
Where mom and mom go? But yeah, like the thing that's interesting is like people can have different theories about it, which is really cool because you know it's just like we know what the jumping off point is, and I don't really know what happens any better than anybody else does. I mean, because both of these guys think fuck no.
Yeah.
what do you think, Dan?
I think it's unlikely, but you know, not impossible.
Yeah.
It could turn into an Orange is the New Black sort of situation where they get into some trouble and then Sam decides she's not really a lesbian and then I'm just saying this is what Orange is the New Black. Also, Orange is the New Black.
Can we just say that Gone Home was a prequel to Orange is the New Black? I like that a lot too.
That's probably what happened. What was the idea you originally started out with? And then how close was that to what you ended up with?
I mean, it was actually, it was, in a way, it's very similar, but also, I don't know. So we had started from a point of, we want to make this game where you explore a house and you find out the story of the people that mm-hmm. live there. And so if you're only going to be in the house, the conflict, like the drama, has to be between the family members, right? It has to be like in the space. And so our question starting out was like, what's the conflict between like the parents and the kid, right? And so we kind of started from a point of like, you know, Romeo and Juliet, you know, kind of thing. Like the kid falls in love with somebody the parents don't approve of. But Montagues and Capulets is not really a 2013 kind of concern, or even a 1995 kind of concern. So, you know, we were like, okay, if the kid is gay and the parents don't approve, and that could be like, you know, a very like serious driver of drama with these characters. And so that from that point, you know, we were like, okay, we've signed up to write this gay character. It's going to be about this family. But the way that's different is at the end of development, the conflict was no longer about like, oh, well, there are these two characters and the parents don't approve of them, or you know, they're kind of like fighting these external forces that are trying to push them apart. It became much more about like the two characters' differences and like the directions their lives were going in, and what they wanted, and how that was like causing challenges for them. Because as we started to write it, it was like, because I worked with Carla, who's another co-founder of the company, as like my story partner, and we were working on the story, and it was like them just kind of having to fight against other people telling them, you know, you can't be together, was nowhere near as interesting as, well, they both want to be together, but there's these different aspects in their lives that make that hard, and like, are they going to be able to be together at the end or not? So, you know, it started from a place where a lot of the elements are the same, but really, like, the identity of it was a lot different by the time we finished.
Did you always have the idea to sort of, it's rooted in 95, but based on the artifacts you find and the characters you discover, it goes back, you know, all the way to, you know, decades back. Like, a lot of the, to me, sort of the linchpin of all the events falls, like, right around the Kennedy assassination with Terry and Oscar.
I mean, we had always wanted for it not just to be a story that's about the here and now. You know, that's not like, okay, the entire story takes place in 95. Like, we were really interested in what's the family history and how does that impact, you know, what happened. But we, you know, we discovered a lot about who the characters were and when all those events took place and stuff, like, as we were developing the game.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know what the ending of the game was until, like, 2 weeks before we went in to record the final voice session. Like, we were really figuring stuff out.
What else were you kicking around? I mean, was it just watching it develop, or was it... Because, I mean, I think most... The game's creepy, right?
And like, yeah.
The first time I saw the attic, I was like, oh, fuck, what's going on up there? It's like when you go into the... I keep telling the story, but, you know, I was playing all by myself in the house, silent. I had headphones on, Patil on my lap, Steimer playing Guild Wars down the hall. And, like, I'd been dead quiet. And then I went into the under-the-stairs cupboard with the Satan stuff, and I just went, oh, shit! Oh, yeah. And then I, like, ran upstairs once I had the key, you know what I mean? And I was expecting to find them hung or blown away or something. Yeah.
Blown away.
Well, it's
a
I was expecting blown away.
I mean, I went into it not knowing anything.
Yeah,
you know,
me too.
Just knowing that it was supposed to be very good. So, you know, you don't know if it's like is it a ghost story or like am I dead? Did I die in a plane crash on my way home? And was everyone like abducted by aliens? Like I had no idea.
Yeah.
Right. I guess you're doing this on purpose. You're sort of leaving these. Not really clues, but like sort of suggestions.
Yeah, I mean, the game in a lot of ways is about misdirection, right? Because like you start out, and the first thing you read is the note on the door, and it says like, "Don't try to figure out where I am. We'll see each other again someday." Mm-hmm. And unless that's like super figurative, and she means like in heaven or something, then you start out basically with the character being like, "I've left. Don't try to figure out where I've gone." But you know that's and then throughout the whole game. Other, you know, aspects of the story and just the setting and the tone push you to be like, oh, is she dead or is she still in the house or, you know, but you get to the end and it's like, no, she's gone or she doesn't want you to know where she is.
Yeah.
But, like, finding out the specifics of that and, like, getting pushed towards other possibilities of, like, could it be this, could it be that, before you come back around to, like, oh, I see why she left and why she left me that note and everything is kind of the journey through the game.
Sure.
But you know, it never was in as dark a place as like, and everybody died, you know, or like you were saying, you were a ghost the whole time or anything, you know. Like we always wanted to be a more like kind of plausible, like relatable kind of thing where it's like, oh, this could have happened to people I know. Yeah. You know, this isn't like a melodramatic thing where it's right. like the parents, you know, drove their car off a cliff or something, yeah. right? It's just like you find out about more mundane events, but you care about them because, like, you get to know these characters by, sure. by playing the game.
Well, that was the crazy thing, right, of, like, starting that game knowing nothing, mm-hmm. and it's storming, it's all this, and I get in there, and, you know, I'm turning on every light because I kept like, walking through doors and, like, yeah. turning on a light, and then I'd, like, try to trigger things by going into the door frame and, like, look for ghosts or whatever. But, like, you know, like, playing the message, right? And, like, you get there, and, like, you're downstairs. I've been in the house maybe 5 minutes, and I play the message machine in my game, you know, and it's, like, it turns out that that's Lonnie, right? Like, talking happily the first time, crying the second time, yeah. and, like, please pick up the phone, please pick up the phone. And it reminded me so much of Walking Dead, the messages from Clem's parents,
right.
that immediately I was like, something fucked up is happening. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I had forgotten about all that until the very end in the attic when she says that I almost slept through it, and, you know, the second call woke me up, and, you know, I'm like, that was like mind blowing. Like all of a sudden it became, yeah, this could happen to anybody. I haven't been playing this weird ghost story. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was there ever a worry that, you know, you can sort of tackle the game in whatever order you want? Like, if you want to go upstairs first and check it out, you can do that. If you right. want to take a left, you can do that.
That's what I did.
Yeah. Did you take a left?
Yeah.
I think most people take a left.
I think the
cleared out rooms systematically. I think like anything that was open before I'd open a door, I'd dump all the things out and read them.
The interesting thing is, I think that most like gamers, like people that have like a background playing a lot of games, did exactly that. And that was kind of how I designed it. Like, chronologically.
You go left in the Resident Evil mansion.
Yeah, so there you go.
True. Yeah. Which, you know, that foyer is a little bit of the Resident Evil foyer, a little bit. But I think that, you know, if you've played a bunch of games, you know, like, okay, enter this space. And you see a big staircase with a door at the top, and you're like, I'm going to see what else is in here
right,
first.
Exactly.
And then you end up in the West Hall, and you go through that, and that's kind of chronologically how it starts out. But we've had people, like, who have played the game at, like, GDC or something like that, or just people who aren't gamers but, you know, pick up the game. And they're much more likely, interestingly, just to be like, come in the foyer, oh, there's, you know, and they go straight up the stairs and start exploring up there. And the thing that's interesting about that to me is, in a lot of ways, I think they get kind of the more interesting experience, because you start at the point where Sam and Lonnie start hanging out, and you can kind of, you know, that's an okay starting point. You're like, oh, there's a story about these girls becoming friends and everything. And then you end up back down in the West Hall, and you're kind of filling in the backstory out of order,
which is
interesting, because, yeah, our game supports the idea of, oh, I get an idea of what's happening. Oh, now I have more information. I know what led up to it. But, yeah, I think that most players, probably most people that, you know, like, read IGN and buy it on Steam and everything. And, you know, players like me that have, like, played a ton of games are more likely to kind of play it in the right order.
Sure.
Right.
But we did have to totally say, like, okay, you could play it backwards, and is it still a satisfying experience if you do?
Well, that's what's crazy to think about, is that when I was going through and I was getting all the audio diaries, I assumed that it wasn't a specific audio thing was in this specific place as much as, like, finding an artifact cued that number on the list. Because mine was totally, like, playing out normal. She's starting in a new school. This is happening. There's this girl that she thinks cool, but she doesn't know how to talk to her, blah, 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 Street Fighter. And it was like,
that was all level design. Because they're totally baked in. It's like one object is connected to a specific audio diary, and if you miss that one, you'll just never get it. You know, you can 100% get stuff out of order. Because the way that we, you know, built it was this object, like the moving invoice in the foyer or whatever, she's going to talk about moving in the new house connected with that. So if we had kind of done it saying, like, okay, you'll always get diary 3rd, then the association would start getting really weird, right? But that's why we kind of had to rely on the level design and the layout and kind of how the player most likely moved through the space to say, like, you'll probably get stuff in basically the right order. And if you miss one thing, you'll still fill in the gaps if you find everything else, you know, that kind of stuff.
I love the moment when you pick up the crucifix.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
So that was the one, you were telling us at lunch, that was the one time you designed something on purpose to sort of
A very scripted moment.
But then there's also, like, an explanation for it, because you find the invoice of the electrician who said, well, there's faulty electricity in the house.
Which is great.
Light bulbs often go out unexpectedly. So it's really smart.
Yeah, I mean, that was the thing, is that we didn't, like, it's interesting because we come from this background of working on games that are very systemic, and, like, our inspirations, like Thief and System Shock and Deus Ex and stuff, they're, like, very much clockwork worlds where it's like the systems of how things work leads to kind of emergent behaviors and blah, blah, blah. And Gone Home is much more of like a static environment. It's like a place you go and you find stuff. And we still have like a physics system. We try to make everything as like consistent as possible so you interact with stuff and that's meaningful. But we don't have a lot of, you know, like very scripted stuff or elements that like interact with each other in complex ways. Yeah. But we still wanted to have like the feeling that there isn't a ton of you hit this trigger and this happens, you know, like so all of the stuff except for that one scripted light bulb is like randomized. So like thunder and lightning and like all the creaky sounds in the house and all that kind of stuff is just on random timers. Mm-hmm. So there aren't any cases of like you walk into the TV room and you hit a trigger volume and lightning strikes to like be dramatic. But as you play through, there are all these different kind of sounds and effects and stuff that might play. And so almost everybody I've talked to that's done a playthrough, they have at least one moment where they're like, oh yeah, that time when I opened the door and then the lightning struck right that was awesome. And I'm like, lucky you. We didn't plan that.
I was going to ask if you did plan some thunder cracks because they seem to happen at key moments for me. But
Yeah.
Mine was, the game did a great job of, I started, I'm like, this is a scary game. And then I started picking up Sam's story and I'm like, okay, that's a really cool side story. And then all of a sudden it kind of moved from like, I'm investigating if this is a ghost house or whatever. Yeah. I want to know everything about this relationship. And I'd be all like lost in it, like searching around for their artifacts. And then I'd think I'd hear like a whisper or something. I'm like, wait, and then I'd be like, wait, this is a ghost?
I like, think that too.
I'm like, what are they doing? Is there, what kind of game am I playing? I don't know. Yeah. And so it wasn't until like 3/4 of the way where I was like, all right, for real, this is just a love story. This is awesome. I'm having such a good time.
Then you start to think this is ending horribly. Yeah. I'm gonna find my sister's body.
Yeah. Well, and that's what it was. Yeah, when I finally went under those stairs, I was like, oh no! Like I finally committed and let myself be like, this is a happy story. They're gonna be in love. And it's like, oh shit.
I mean, it turns out it is a happy story.
Happening. But it was a bittersweet happiness, right? Like that's, I finished the game and I was talking to you earlier about this, right? Like when I finished Walking Dead and I listened to that song and watched those credits, it was just like so sad. And this one I finished, but still, there was something about it that was bittersweet. Just, I guess, in the way of, like, them feeling like they had to run away. Like, sure. I talked about this, too. Like, fuck Sam's family, right? Like, the parents are like, oh, no, like, oh, no, you know, this is just a phase. And they're like, she's like, it's going to be a long fucking phase. But then on top of that, Katie, as the player, there was the one point when I opened the locker and I moved it, and there's the gentleman's magazine. Yeah, and Katie's like, oh, Sam. Like, that's what it said.
Did you find it in the dad's?
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, dad.
Yeah.
I think no.
It's
Gosh, dad, right?
Yeah.
It's good.
Okay, so one of the things that I've kind of argued with a few people about, because I feel like the Sam and Lonnie angle is, it's pretty clear-cut by the end. You kind of understand these two characters, their motivations, and what they go through. But it's more about the dad and Uncle Oscar, whose house it is.
Right.
I think you can only kind of figure this out, or at least get this, if you opened up that optional safe in the basement.
It helps.
But, yeah, so in my mind, right around the Kennedy assassination, Sam's dad was molested by her uncle. In that sort of bottom,
what do you guys think? You guys talked about this?
I haven't talked with these two guys.
This is what I talked about. Like when I finished it, and I was like, "Oh man, I was bittersweet. This is great." As the credits were rolling, I'm like, "Fuck! I never opened that safe. There was a safe I passed, and I expected to run into the
Break it down for.
So it's kind of these guys. It's this creepy area. There's a height chart for Terry.
I saw that.
In a creepy area. I don't know who's making a height chart there. Well, if you open up the safe, you find, is it ether? Is it?
There's like morphine in there, as well as just some other, you know, pharmacy stuff.
And so if this all lines up with the Kennedy assassination, to me, that's why the father is so obsessed with writing books about a time traveler who's going back to try to stop the Kennedy assassination. Because in his mind, he's like, if I could just fucking go back and stop this event from happening, I wouldn't have this huge gaping hole in my heart. Mm-hmm.
That the only illusion, the safe in general, and the height chart that you're going off
of? Well, and also the fact that, they refer to, it's the psycho house, they refer to the uncle as kind of creepy. I don't know, I think there were a few more things.
Well, I mean, there's just the fact that, like, there's a couple things you can find in Dad's office as well, where there's, like, a letter that Oscar had sent to Dad when he and the mom got married, and it's like torn up and then taped back together. And there's just the fact that
what's the letter say?
It basically is like a congratulations letter that's like, I've heard that you're getting married and I'm very excited for you and you're welcome to Arbor Hill, you know, the house anytime you want to, though I'll understand if you can't accept this invitation or whatever. And so Dad has like torn it up and pasted it back together. And then it's just the fact that Oscar, who hasn't been in contact with the family for decades, leaves the house to Dad, without really any other explanation. So yeah, like, the thing we wanted to do with the story is, like, the closer to the present day that the events are, the more access you have to them, right? So, like, Sam and Lonnie's story, you hear Sam tell you that story in her own words, and it's kind of, like, very very clearly delineated. Mm-hmm. And then mom and dad stuff is just through what you find, and that's a little bit, you know, less direct. And then Oscar's story that, you know, basically goes back decades and decades since before the family even lived in the house, you have to kind of do a lot of detective work to find all these disparate pieces that are pointed at pretty subtly. And yeah, I mean, there's a reason that we didn't want to just like hammer on that stuff.
Sure.
You know, like we wanted that to be something that if you really did the detective work, that you could say, like, I think this is what the story is behind Dad and Oscar. I think this is why he left him this house, is almost like trying to apologize somehow. And that Dad felt like, oh, I can move into this house because all that stuff is in my past and it won't bother me anymore. But then he moves into the house and he has to like actually confront it,
deal with the space.
But yeah, that the intent was, Oscar and Terry having this you know, history that goes back to this one event in at Thanksgiving 1963, which is right. You know, like all the stuff that you were saying is basically spot on, but we also wanted that to be something that you really kind of had to dig for and that you had to find all of that stuff and really go looking for it, as opposed to it being something that's just like out there in the open. Because I think that the thing that's interesting about how you play Gone Home and how you discover the story in it is like how easy it is to find information kind of also talks about like how well hidden it is, even in like the characters', you know, minds you know.
Well, yeah, for me, that's the problem, right? Is that like, I got on the singular track of I want to know everything about Sam and Lonnie. And so even when I was getting the mom letters, like her talking to her friend, and like I was telling you in the commentary that's up on IGN, you can, you know, that I thought, oh yeah, she's going to some concert with the tree man. That's great. I don't, whatever.
I wanna literally know. It's an ent.
But like now, like on my, I'm going to go back and play it, right, and not worry anymore about is there going to be a fucking ghost around the corner and try to explore those threads that I didn't really pick up on.
Yeah, and the stuff about Dad and Oscar, like, It was like a day or two after the game came out, a blogger named Austin Walker, he wrote up his like kind of breakdown of how all that that stuff came together. And it was totally a case of, in his write-up, he was like, I played through, and it was cool, and you know, like I felt like I got a lot out of it. But then like I was thinking about it, and I was like, there's something else there, you know, between these characters. And I don't know, and he went back and like explored the house more until he found all the pieces and kind of, you know, had enough to add up to that conclusion. And that's, like, I think that's, like, as far as from a developer's standpoint, I think that's totally cool, you know, be like, you do your one exploration through and you find enough to be like, that was a cool story. But then if you go back and you keep digging, there is more stuff to find, you know. Because I was, you know, like, you know, people talk about the game being short or whatever. People talk about, oh, I finished it in, like, an hour and a half or something. But our intent was always, yes, if you want to just get from the beginning to the end, that's not the challenge of the game. The challenge of the game, the value, is to say, like, I could spend more time here and I could find more, and I don't think that I found everything. And if I go back and just walk through the house again, I'll notice all this stuff that I didn't even realize the first time, you know?
So I'm sure you've read, like, a lot of the, you know, the commentaries and the essays after the game came out.
Yeah.
Is there anything you think that people haven't found yet? Is there anything that still you guys are like, oh, man, no one has written about this yet? Is there stuff like... in like Banjo-Kazooie, which is obviously an analog to your game.
Yeah.
No, it took like a predecessor. It took like a decade for a certain thing to come out. It was like something 2008. This like Seeker came out. It's like, Jesus Christ, I don't find this in 10 years.
Yeah. we haven't tried to hide anything that hard.
Yeah.
Like, and there was a, it was the week after the game came out. There's this Easter egg that I showed you when
commentary on IGN.com.
Yeah, IGN.com, everybody. that's like this goofy Easter egg that's 100% just like a wacky thing that we put in that, you know, I could have let that sit for longer, but like in this day and age, when people are like trying to find a secret like that, they're like streaming it on Twitch or whatever.
Yeah.
And so like there were guys that were the thing that the Easter egg is involved with is there's 23 audio diaries that you get when you find all of Sam's story, but there's like 24 slots. And so people are like, there's a 24th audio diary, isn't it? And I was kind of like, maybe there is, you know? And so these guys on Twitch, they were spending hours. They were like 4 or 5 hours just like going through the house trying to figure out how to get this Easter egg thing. I just felt so bad for them. Like, I was like, it's awesome you guys are trying so hard. I feel terrible that you're just like tearing your hair out. No. So I went into the Twitch stream and I like gave them hints.
Yeah.
And like eventually they found the thing, you know? But so there's stuff that if we had wanted for it not to have been discovered for longer, we probably could have just like not mentioned it, you know? Yeah. But like, I don't know. It's the kind of thing where when we have really obscure stuff like that, if somebody finds it, I think that's cool, because like almost no player that just plays it out of the box, you know, is ever going to encounter that stuff, you know?
Now, Gone Home is one of those games that, you know, people seem to love. It has a very, on Metacritic, the critic score is very high and the user score is lower.
Yeah.
How does that make you guys feel?
I mean, it's like, there's nothing you can do about it. I don't know. Like, I mean, the thing is that, like, almost all of the response that we've gotten has been super positive. And, we've just gotten, like, really nice emails from people and stuff. You know, just, like, personal emails that are just, like, this game meant a lot to me. You know, I identified with this game in a way I never identified with the game before. And, like, thank you for making it, all that kind of stuff, which is, that's something that I'm not used to. As a game developer, as somebody just, like, emailing you directly and being like, this is like personally meaningful to me and I needed to contact you about it. And those kinds of responses are way more important than somebody voting us down on Metacritic user rating because whatever, you know, because they're like, this isn't really a game or something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. It's fine. Sure.
Yeah, you know, like, hey, some people want to, you know, make that point through a Metacritic score, like, what are you going to do about it, right? Yeah. But there have been so many people that have connected with the game and that have, like, told us about that we're way more excited about that stuff.
You know, on Twitter, obviously, I was talking about the game, and then on Up at Noon, I stopped, before we even did the interview, I told everybody to go buy it because I wanted them to go in blind. And one of the main reasons I want them to, right, and we talked about this at lunch, is that, you know, I think when you're in that moment playing that game, hearing the love story, I think it makes sense, right? And so I think if you have, hopefully, maybe I'm being too idealist, right? But if you had a preconceived notion about what it is to be homosexual, you'd see this and maybe understand a bit more. Were you worried when you started trying to launch this game or when you put it out that people would go the adverse reaction to it and just be, oh, that's a gay game and blah, 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 blah?
I don't know. Like, I mean, I think that you're right? That, like, the point of the game is that it's a love story between these characters. And obviously, like, the fact that they're gay is very, like, relevant to their experience because, like, that adds all these other factors.
She talks about, you know, hiding it and that mom and dad don't know.
All that stuff. So it's not like it doesn't matter that, you know, that's part of the game. But we've had a lot of, like, it's been cool to see a lot of really positive reactions from people that are just like you described, not so much that, like, oh, they have, you know, negative feelings towards, like, gay rights or anything, but just, like, we've had a lot of people email us that are like, I'm a straight dude, you know, I went into your game not knowing what it was about, and I felt, like, this real, you know, sense of, like, empathy with these characters, and it was awesome to, like, have that experience through their eyes, even though it's not how I grew up, you know, I'm not that kind of person, but I can totally identify with their experience. And I think that probably is more effective if you just go in knowing, like, oh, this game's cool, and you explore a house and find stuff, and it's really, you know, you should check it out, as opposed to, like you were saying, like, oh, it's about this and this, and it's this issue game, and I already know what I'm signing up for before I go in. But, you know, there's only so much you can do about that, right? Because, like, that's part of the premise of the game, you know? It's interesting because I never want to think of that as, like, a spoiler, you know? Like, the twist is, you know? Because that's totally not what it's about. But on the other hand, like, actually going through all the steps yourself and discovering what the story is about while you play through, I think is part of what makes it effective. So, I don't know. Yeah, it's a hard balance to strike. But the nice thing is, you know, we did, you know, previews, like you did a preview with us last year, and we did, you know, we sent out review code and everything, and we didn't tell journalists, like, okay, don't mention this and this.
Yeah.
You know, we were like, anything you've played, you can talk about. If there's, like, an obvious spoiler, you know, use your judgment.
Yeah.
And pretty much almost nobody talked about, like, that side of what the game is about, not because they were afraid of offending people or because they thought it was, like, a twist or something, but just for that exact reason. If they were like, I played it And I would have wanted to discover the whole story for myself as a player, so I don't want to put that into my write-up for that reason.
Yeah, it was a tough, it was kind of a tough game to review, just because it was, like, I'm not sure of how far I want to go talking about it. Like, I had to use vagaries and, like, just talk about relationships in the broadest sense. Were you worried the night before it launched and before the reviews went up, like, how people were going to receive the game? Like, were you guys kind of confident that, you know, critics, you know, most of the sites, IGN, Polygon, across the board, like, really love the game? Were you worried that you were going to wake up in the morning and it was going to be, like, fours and fives?
I wasn't worried about that in particular, but I didn't really know how people would receive it. You know, like, we were confident that we made a game that we liked, and, you know, like, we were happy with it, right? And that means something. I mean, somebody else is going to like it, but we didn't know if it would be the kind of thing where people would really connect with it strongly and be like, this is great, or whether they'd be kind of like, this is interesting, you know? Like, we didn't really think, or we hoped, I don't know, I at least wasn't thinking people were going to be like, this is a piece of shit, you know? Like, nobody play this. But I could have seen it totally being a much more lukewarm reception of just like, it's kind of, you know, it's neat. You know, but luckily, between, you know, the voice actor that we got, Sarah Grayson, is this incredibly talented local voice actor that, you know, delivered this performance that, I mean, you know, I find to be really compelling, and we're really lucky to have worked with her, and just the overall, you know, atmosphere and the story and everything, it made a really strong personal connection with a lot of people. And I'm really happy about that, because that's what I couldn't have predicted. You know, whether it would have been like there are a couple people who totally get keyed in and everybody else is lukewarm on it, or whether it was like effective for more people that played it. And so we were really happy to see that for the most part, you know, it grabbed people and they felt like it was worth touting as something that, you know, everybody should play. And we're just we're super grateful for everybody that's like taken the jump and tried this game and, you know, paid the money for it and played through it, even though it's not exactly like something that you might have played before, even though you read a review and they're like, don't read this review, just go just go play, you know? So it's been really cool to see how people have reacted to it. Mm-hmm. But you never know what it's going to be like, you know, before you launch. Like, I know people that work on, you know, the games, you know, like, obviously, I know people that worked on Bioshock Infinite, because I worked on it and I kept up with them. And, you know, they're nervous the night before launch, because they're like, what if people don't like it? You know, because you get so close to your game while you're building it that you can never be sure that the thing you made is actually something people are like going to be excited about.
Ken come in, just whip them.
But yeah, you never know.
Anything else that stood out for you guys?
I have a final question for me. This came from a Twitter kid when I was the day I was recommending
Twitter
it.
Twitter kid.
Twitter
kids 1976. No, he tweeted at me a question that I didn't really have an answer for, but his thoughts, he asked me, do you think the game would be as successful, or at least as critically acclaimed, or as publicly supported as it's being, if Sam was a boy? If it was a gay relationship with two men?
Yeah, I mean, I just have, like, I have no idea. You know, I don't even know where to start. I mean,
like, when you wrote the story, it was Sam with Sam, right? There wasn't like, oh, maybe we do this with the character.
It was something
maybe
that
she's a peg leg.
The pirate version of Gone Home.
Yar home.
It was something where, you know, we figured out what the premise was, and then Carla and I started talking about it, and we both just started picturing this character kind of, and so we were like, okay, we think it's this girl, and she's kind of like this, and we didn't really have to have a lot of discussion about that, because we were both sort of like, this is the kind of character we think it would be cool to portray in this story, like in the 90s. You know, it's like we were excited about like the Riot Girl stuff, you know, and like zine culture and all that kind of stuff. And it seemed like an interesting character to be at the center of the story. And the thing is, if, like, all I can say is if it wasn't Sam and Lonnie, it would just be two totally different characters, you know? And, like, maybe we would have done as good a job with that. Maybe people would have connected with it the same. It's just, like, that's an alternate reality that I don't even know how to like, say, like, objectively, yes, like, definitely. Yeah. I think we would have gotten the exact same Metacritic, you know? Like, I don't know, you
know? Isn't that question really asking, is society more accepting of lesbian relationships than gay ones? And I don't know, that's kind of a big question.
Or if it was just a straight relationship. appointed guard.
Yeah, and that would just be another totally different story because like all the factors that they had to deal with wouldn't have, you know, would have been other stuff they would have had to deal with, right? But yeah, I don't know. I mean, we made the game we made, and I'm really glad that people could make a connection with it. And yeah, I don't know what else could have happened if we made something that was different, you know?
Well, the game is something special. So congratulations. Thank you for making it. We play a lot of games.
Yeah.
Not many of them actually make me feel something.
Right. Yeah. True. No, that's 100%.
It may be fun, but like, you know, this game really like meant a lot to me.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate you guys playing it, and thanks for having me on to spoil all the spoilers. Yeah.
So many people are like, well, I'm not buying it now. I know anything about it.
Everybody at home, thanks for watching, and stay tuned for more spoiler casts from IGN GameScoop.
And somebody make a plush Christmas duck. I want to buy a Christmas duck.
Stranger, I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.